Grace, mercy, and peace be to you through the knowledge of God our Father and through his Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text on this New Year's Eve is recorded in the third chapter of Joshua. We read there the first five verses. Early in the morning, Joshua and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and went to the Jordan, where they camped before crossing over. After 3 days, the officers went throughout the camp, giving orders to the people. When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, who are Levites, carrying it, you are to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you have never been this way before. But keep a distance of about 1,000 yards between you and the Ark. Do not go near it. Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." So far the text. Christ Jesus, our Savior, the same yesterday, today, and forever, dearly beloved of God, text I just shared with you reminds us of one of the most momentous hours in the history of God's people Israel. They've just reached the end of their 40-year wilderness wanderings, and they're now camped on the east side of the Jordan River. And on the other side is that land flowing with milk and honey, Canaan, which God had promised to give them. And Joshua, the man whom God chose to be Moses' successor, is preparing to lead them across the river so that they might take possession of that promised land. This evening, we want to take note of some similarities between the children of Israel back then, who were camped on Jordan River's shoreline, and us who are getting ready to cross over into a new calendar year. Just as they wondered about the road on the other side that they had never traveled on, it was a strange road, uncharted territory. So we wonder tonight what the road is going to be like on the other side of New Year's Eve. So we're going to consider these two main points or thoughts tonight. We know it's going to be an unfamiliar road to us on which we're going to meet. We can pretty much count on various challenges and, yes, also powerful enemies. And then secondly, it will be a safe and secure road because we have Joshua as our leader. I think you all know the story well that precedes the events of our text, how Moses had led the people of Israel out of Egypt and how he had served as their faithful leader all through the duration of their long desert trek. Moses just died, and the Lord himself buried Moses' body on the top of Mount Nebo overlooking the promised land. And now Joshua, as mentioned, is the new leader of this people that numbers some 2 million souls. You just try to picture this group of millions of people, fathers, mothers, children, looking in the distance over the river, in the hazy distance 5 miles away is that city of Jericho, fortified walls, and rising up farther in the distance in the haze, on the top of Mount Zion, 20 miles distant, is the city of Jerusalem, another city well fortified that they were being led to by Joshua to invade and conquer. Now imagine how, as they gathered on the Jordan shoreline, how they must have all wondered to themselves, how is it going to go for us when we cross over and start down that strange road on the opposite side, when we meet up with the hostiles of that land, the Hittites and the Hivites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. They were the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And we have to go against them on the battlefield. Peoples way stronger than we are and far more numerous. How can we win the victory? How can we prosper and be successful? And so to we tonight who stand at an important crossroad of a new year with its months, its weeks and days, its hours and minutes, may wonder how they will go for us as we venture into uncharted territory over which we have not passed. Suppose it may be that we may have a hazy idea of what the new year, what we will encounter in it because of our past experiences, but we do not know anything for sure or for certain. I mean, think about last New Year's Eve 1 year ago. We had no clue we were going to run into a pandemic a few months later in the month of March. Our reading from James forcefully reminded us of all this, that we don't even know what's going to happen the next day of our lives, let alone the next 365 days of the new year. If you're an older person, in 2021, will I be blessed with continued vigor and sound health? If you're a breadwinner, will you be able to continue to provide through your work and employment a living for your family? If you are a younger person, will your hopes for your future be fulfilled and your dreams? Will your schooling, will your education go well, especially if it needs to be virtual over the internet? Will we have losses or gains in 2021? Bereavements? Disappointments? Will there be blessings? Will there be days filled with sunshine and gladness? So many uncertainties which only our journey across the Jordan that divides 2020 from 2021 will reveal. There's one thing that we do know going in. Well, there's a couple things. The first thing we know from what the Lord has made known to us in His Word, we're going to have enemies, challenges to face. We're going to have our own Hittites and Hivites and Girgashites and Jebusites that we are going to need to engage in battle. And I think you know what they are, the so-called unholy trinity of the old evil foe concerning whom the Apostle Paul wrote, "Our struggle is not against flesh and blood," that is human opponents, "but against rulers, authorities, powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the unseen heavenly realms." And then there's enemy number two, the hatred of the world, concerning which Jesus said, "If you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. But as it is, you don't belong to the world, but I've chosen you out of the world. That's why the world also hates you, just like it hated me." And then the third enemy, that inner tug of war against our sin nature, concerning which the Savior warned, "Watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." So yeah, we wonder, what about our future in the new year? What about that road on the other side of the Jordan? It's going to be safe? Secure? Will it be? Well, again, that's the other thing we know, don't we, as Christians? The reassuring answer that our text provides is yes. And how do we know it? Because we have our own Joshua, who is going to serve as our trustworthy and capable and loving leader. You may be aware that the Old Testament name in the Hebrew, Joshua, is the equivalent of the New Testament Greek name, Jesus, which means Jesus, or Jehovah, is our salvation. So we know this going in, that just as God provided his people long ago with a capable leader in the person of Joshua, son of Nun, who led them over the Jordan, led them in the battle against Jericho. You know that story too, of how the walls came a-tumbling down by God's power. How Joshua, through his entire life, served the Israelites faithfully, providing them with godly leadership. God has also provided us with Jesus, our Joshua, to guide us across the divide between the old year and the new, to lead us faithfully, capably, all along the untraveled road ahead, so that we can pray that prayer with joyful confidence. Lord, take my hand. Lead me upon life's way. Direct, protect, and feed me from day to day. Without your grace and favor, I go astray. So take my hand, O Savior, and lead the way. And when the tempest rages, I need not fear. For you, the Rock of Ages, are always near. Close by your side, abiding, I fear no foe, no enemy. For when your hand is guiding in peace, I go. The key, of course, and it's so important, dear friends, to be reminded of that, of course, continually as Christians, especially as we prepare to cross over into another calendar year, the key is to follow our Joshua, our Jesus' leading. We want to take his word as our guide, as our compass, and as our roadmap. In the story of our text, we read how the Lord instructed the Israelites. When you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests carrying it, you're to move out from your positions and follow it. Then you will know which way to go, since you've never been this way before. That Ark of the Covenant was a symbol or a picture of God's presence with his people and the blessings that he promised to shower upon them as they looked to him with hearts of faith and as they endeavored in love to walk in his paths. As they did that, they had his guarantee that I, your Lord, will guide you all through your sojourn in the land of Canaan, no matter how many obstacles and challenges you run into. And by the way, the amazing thing that he was going to do for them the very next day that's mentioned in our text, when it says, Joshua said, consecrate yourselves for tomorrow, for the Lord. For tomorrow the Lord is going to do amazing things among you. That amazing thing was that he was going to cause the waters of the Jordan River to dam up, just like he had done for their forefathers at the Red Sea, so that they could walk across on dry ground, showing his power for, and how he could indeed, as their God and Savior and Lord, guide them capably as they traversed into the land of promise. And so too, as we commit ourselves to the Lord, as we commend our future into his capable hands, as we follow the ark of his word, looking to it for guidance, trusting in its promises, repenting of our sins of the past year and letting them rest at the foot of Jesus' cross, counting on him to forgive us, which is always there for us. He will cause the Jordan, as it were, to open up for us into a new year of blessings. He's going to cause the walls of Jericho to tumble for us, giving us victory over our foes. His mercies will be new to us every morning, and he will bless us with safe travels all through our sojourn through the earthly Canaan until finally he leads us into the heavenly Canaan. By the way, that's the other road untraveled that we haven't been on before, crossing the Jordan. Christians sometimes use that phrase as an expression for that hour when we venture across the narrow stream of death and pass from time into eternity. We tend to think of that a little bit more, don't we, at New Year's Eve, at the end of the year. Think about the passing of time, how fast the calendar years flip over from one to the next. And we wonder, could the next year be the one God has in mind to send his holy angels to usher us into his presence? Take us into the heavenly Canaan to be with those who have crossed that Jordan, trusting in him as their Savior, who are already there? Well, if it is, we know we will be safe then too, because of our Joshua, the Lord Jesus, in whom we've anchored our Christian hopes. So may we rejoice in these wonderful assurances of your God's word and the amazing things in love he has promised to do for you in the coming year and beyond. Praise him that you can pray, Lord, when the shadows lengthen and night has come, I know that you will strengthen my steps toward home. And nothing can impede me, O blessed friend. So take my hand and lead me until the end. Amen. I invite you to arise for prayer. At the closing of another year, O Lord, and at the dawning of the new, we come before you with our prayers of thanksgiving. Throughout the past 12 months, you have been with us with your boundless mercy, blotting out our transgressions in the blood of our divine Redeemer. We find comfort in knowing that you will be with us in the coming year, forgiving our many sins because of the merits of our Savior. As we contemplate the unknown year which stretches out before us, we recognize our weakness. Whenever we are confronted by problems, trials, and troubles, grant us grace to humbly confess with might of ours cannot be done. At this solemn hour, we bring the difficulties and perplexities of the coming year to you, imploring you, according to your gracious promise, to be with us, to lighten our burdens, and finally to lead us out of darkness into light. Bless us in the new year, Heavenly Father, to your glory and our good, for Jesus' sake. Amen.